Well, hello. Thanks for turning on this podcast. The sermon you're about to hear was preached at Faith Lutheran Church in Meadow Vista, California. We are a Reconciling in Christ congregation and a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. To find out more about our community of faith, visit faithmv.net. Our scripture for today comes from the Gospel according to John, the 10th chapter, verses 11 through 18. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd would die for the sheep. The hired hand, who is neither shepherd nor owner of the sheep, catches sight of the wolf coming and runs away, leaving the sheep to be scattered or snatched by the wolf. That's because the hired hand works only for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. In the same way, Abba God knows me and I know God. And for these sheep, I will lay down my life. I have other sheep that don't belong to this fold. I must lead them too, and they will hear my voice. And then there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why Abba God loves me, because I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes my life from me. I lay it down freely. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. This command I received from my Abba." The Gospel of our Lord. I was in the car earlier this week listening to the radio. I was catching up on some news and world events, and I was struck with this deep-seated feeling of existential dread. That is, I started to wonder, what is going on? How are we going to get through this? We're so far down the path of complicated moral issues and power plays and economic challenges and complicated ecological changes that I don't know how we're going to get through this without a complete breakdown of everything we know and count on. You can see where this went in the car. I probably shouldn't have been driving at that point. It causes me to catch my breath at times. But in the midst of all of this wondering about being alive during this time and what life will or won't like in a few decades and what I should be doing with my life during this time of upheaval and concern, I thought of two things. I thought of the gospel text for today, and I thought of all the inspiring stories of ordinary people doing amazing things in the midst of some of the worst times in our history. So many of the inspiring stories that we hear come from times of war. Like, if you want to tell a story about World War II, you can pretty much find a story about, to tell every day of the year, about World War II heroes, people who sacrificed, who did extraordinary things, who lived with bravery. In 1939, Paul Grunninger was a Swiss police officer. He wasn't a high-powered official, nor did he have a larger-than-life personality. He was pretty average. He worked as a school teacher, in fact, until his wife and mother urged him to find a better job that paid better. So he was hired by the police department, and his job entailed filing out reports and arranging security details for visiting dignitaries. Again, kind of an average job for an average guy. But one morning in April, Paul showed up for work and his way was blocked by a uniformed officer. After an investigation, it was revealed that Paul had been altering documents for Jews who were fleeing Austria for the safety of Switzerland. A few strokes of Paul's pen to change the date on a passport was all it took to alter the document in such a way that it allowed for safe passage. It was a quiet gesture, but it was a gesture of great bravery. Paul was dismissed from his position and subjected to criminal charges. Rumors were spread that he had demanded sexual favors from those he helped. He was disgraced and shunned by his community, by all of his neighbors. He ended up peddling raincoats and animal feed until he died in poverty in 1972. On his grave is a marker that says, "Paul Grunninger saved hundreds of refugees in 1938 and 39. A brave man, who I'm sure had no idea
of the impact of his actions, nor that people would be talking about it almost 100 years later. He was a man who, in the face of terrible circumstances, chose to take action in the one way that was available to him. A man who acted bravely despite the consequences. Today is the fourth Sunday in the season of Easter, and often on this Sunday we call it Good Shepherd Sunday. For the first 3 weeks, we have heard about Jesus appearing to his disciples post-resurrection, assuring them, offering them peace, commissioning them for the rest of their days, promising that he will not leave them without power and help. Today, we hear Jesus talk about what it means to live in close, intimate relationship with God. This is a vital teaching, because I believe that this is the only way that we are going to get through the days ahead. The only way we're going to get through is by staying close to our Good Shepherd. The teacher once asked her first graders what they wanted to be when they grew up, and of course, he got the standard answers: firefighter, astronaut, a teacher, a nurse, a doctor, a lawyer. The last child to speak up was the quietest and most timid in the class. And he said, "When I get big, I want to join the circus, and I want to work with lions and elephants." And his classmates looked at him with surprise. And he said, "Well, of course, with my mother's help." Someone who loves us and is with us always, especially when we need a little extra help. Some of us have been fortunate to have parents who fit that bill. But all of us have a Savior who fits that bill. A good shepherd. Our ultimate source of help and comfort. And in this passage from John, Jesus gives us some important instructions about what it means to be a sheep, to have Jesus as our shepherd. I think we have to think about the life of a shepherd. Adam gave a good introduction to that when he talked about how important sheep were. And so the role of the shepherd was really vital to the community's thriving. A good shepherd really did put their life on the line to protect the animals because, of course, the animals pastured in wilderness areas. They weren't all neatly fenced in like we see now, going into a barn every night. They had to roam to find food and water. And the shepherd stays with the flock 24/7. He doesn't actually get time off. He sleeps. In a previous part of this chapter, Jesus says he's the sheep gate. So I don't know if you know, but they would form an enclosure, usually probably with rocks and stones, that they would herd the sheep into at night. And the shepherd would sleep in the opening of that enclosure to protect them from animals coming in. So not only is he the shepherd, he's the sheep gate. The shepherd would follow the sheep if they started to wander away. If they got lost, if he would go after them. He would use his rod and his staff. So the rod was almost like maybe a billy club, you might think of it. It had probably a knob at the end. And the staff, you've all seen the shepherd's staff, right? A big crook like that. And he had a sling. He had three things: a rod, staff, and a sling. And that's how he would defend his sheep. When Jesus says a good shepherd would die for his sheep, he's not using hyperbole. He's speaking literal truth. A good shepherd understands his calling and takes it seriously. His sheep are his livelihood and the livelihood of the community. Protecting the sheep means protecting everybody. Jesus, our good shepherd, did in fact give his life for us. He also gave it for the world, not just the sheep gathered here in this room. I have other sheep that don't belong to this fold. I must lead them to, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. To call on Jesus as our shepherd is to gratefully embrace this reality of God's love for all people and for all of creation. A love that extends beyond us and these borders that we put up around us. We can be confident that we are not alone. We might wander like the sheep off to find greener pastures. We get stuck in the brambles. Or we lose track of the path. But like a good shepherd, Jesus comes after us and nudges us back and helps us stay with the flock. That which lies ahead of us can be faced without fear. So in my car, as I was thinking about this text, I am the good shepherd, it literally calmed me down. I don't know if you've had that experience with scripture, but it literally slowed my heart rate a little bit. I started breathing better. All that would seek to threaten us, that would seek to destroy us, that would seek to lead us towards dangerous pastures is nothing compared to the mighty love and mercy that God shows us in Jesus Christ. There's nothing we do, nothing we face, nothing that threatens us that will be stronger than the power of God. To be sheep of the Good Shepherd is to hold tight to the vision that we hear in Psalm 23. You might be familiar with this passage. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you, O Lord, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. And my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We are living in a time that is calling us to bravery, that is calling us to act with courage, to live with hope, and to share that hope. And when we do not feel brave, when courage seems impossible, and when hopelessness threatens to overwhelm, we can be assured that our Good Shepherd is leading us, protecting us, providing a way through to those green pastures of God's kingdom. Amen.